For instance, when someone comes asking, you know, am I really saved? Now, I may have my opinion. I may think this person is showing great fruit and they look like a Christian to me. I may have doubts, but I never tell that person, yes, you're saved. You know, I want it to come from them. I want the Spirit of God to bear witness so they know it and see the truth for themselves. But as I always tell them, you know, whether someone is a completely false convert or whether someone is just a believer lacking assurance or backslidden, the remedy is exactly the same. You know, repent and believe the gospel, believe Christ now. Because what I often find is the person in this predicament, they're looking to an event in the past or they're looking to a decision or, you know, some experience they had in the past to try and trust in that. And they'll never get peace looking there. You know, they're thinking, I must be saved because this happened to me in the past and this changed in the past. But they're not looking to Christ. So that's going to, whether they're saved or not, if they're not looking to Christ. So, because it really doesn't matter. It's when they're looking to Christ now that matters. You know, sometimes people come to us, for instance, that's new to the church and they think they were saved at a certain point, and when I listen to them, you know, it sounds like they were saved a bit later in the testimony, you know, 4 or 5 years later or whatever, because the life doesn't sound like a Christian in between. But I'm not too concerned about whether they were saved at point A or whether they were saved at point B. What I'm concerned with, are they looking to and walking with Christ now? You know, so that's where I always try to point people to that question.
And what would you say it means to look to Christ?
Yeah, even when I tell them to look to Christ now, I wouldn't literally say that. It's more of a figure of speech I'm using. And I often hear people tell people that, look to Christ, but they don't know what does that mean to them. But really, I tell them what Christ has done, you know, for them. And, you know, the promises of the gospel, you know, I mean, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Yeah. You know, the one who comes in trusting in Christ, he will not refuse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You know, I would tell them the promises, you know, he is faithful because, again, he's true to his word and he is just. He's already paid for those sins. So I would go over the promises of the Gospels, you know, Christ came to save sinners and so forth, and what he's done about Christ bearing our sin, and, you know, we're at peace with God now because it's not of our works. And so it's really explaining the Gospel and trusting, resting in what he's done there. Yeah. But I'd also, again, repentance is another important thing, coming under Christ's reign and rule. You know, it's not just an intellectual belief in the gospel, as in kind of a tick in a box, because that's sometimes what people are looking to do in belief, turn it into a box to tick, rather than, there must be a coming to God there, in it. There must be coming under his reign and rule, you know, having Jesus as your God. I mean, that's, I think, a good way of describing it, you know, that he is Lord, that following him. Again, we're not. That's not what saves us. It's the merits of Christ that saves us. But it's getting people to realize these things, go over the promises and open their eyes. Basically, you want to take their eyes off the sin and self up onto Christ.
And how have your answers changed over the years as you've grown in wisdom?
The way my answers have changed over the years is, one, not letting people lean upon me. Sometimes people want to come to a pastor or someone else all the time to talk to rather than Christ. You know, I can only point them to Christ, and I try my best to do that. It's like if I give someone a book to read, like a classic Spurgeon book, All of Grace, The Wicket Gate, which is basically, that's not for everyone, but it's for someone who's convicted and they're trying to trust Christ, that, you know, they're almost there. But I tell them, look, the answer is not the book. The book points you to the answer, because so many people will pick up a book like that and they're looking again, they're thinking, if I read this book by doing this, you know, if I tick that box. But again, the book's, I'd say, the book's only trying to do what I'm trying to do, and that's point you to Christ, and that he's done it all for salvation and to follow him there. So having people not lean upon me is one thing that's certainly changed. The other thing is not go around in circles. Now, this, not just on a salvation issue, but whether it's marriage counseling or, you know, counseling people about Christians in the workplace or a struggle with sin. Sometimes people just want to talk and talk and talk for hours and hours and hours. And I've learned they're not really interested in putting anything into practice. You can just overload. So now I will limit time. You know, limit the things we'll talk about. Okay, right, put this into practice. Because if the person just wants to go on and on and on and on and on, they end up losing what you've told them anyway. So it's best, and people will always do that in the struggles. I remember Mason Van, a dear brother, pastor in Kirksville, once telling us that early on in his Christian walk, he went to Conrad Merrill for counsel. And he said he just sat there pouring his heart out. And at the end of it, Conrad Merrill just gave him two verses of scripture. And he just went, yeah, right. You know, but that is often how it should be, because again, it's applying the word in practice. So yeah, not letting people go on and on is, you know, making sure it's profitable.